listening to Sonido UBC with Sara Revilla. I will be your host today. This episode will center around soundwalks, what they are, and what their purpose is. I'll be sharing insights from a soundwalk conducted by members of the Sound and the Humanities Research Cluster at the University of British Columbia. The Vancouver campus is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. The activity was led by cluster affiliate Duncan McHugh, who has been co-teaching a podcasting and audio storytelling course at UBC since 2006. He also hosts the weekly music show Dunkin' Donuts. See the notes to this episode for a map of the path we followed and relevant links to articles cited here. I will end the episode by providing prompts to guide you if you decide to go out on your own soundwalk, wherever you are tuning in from. Thank you for listening to Sonido UBC, and let's get started. Canadian composer, radio artist, and sound ecologist Hildegard Westerkamp defines a soundwalk as, I quote, an excursion whose main purpose is listening to the environment that exposes our ears to every sound around us, no matter where we are, end of quote. The term soundwalk was initially employed by Canadian composer R. Mary Schaefer in the 1970s. And later expanded by Westerkamp, both critically and through a series of sound compositions. Nowadays, soundwalking has become a popular practice for people to reconnect with their environment in active ways. There are different types of soundwalks that can be done individually or as a group. Some require critical listening, and there are others, known as participatory soundwalks, where people engage sonically with their environment. By posing a series of questions, Westerkamp encourages soundwalkers to prioritize, rediscover, and reactivate the sense of hearing. Before we listen to a fragment of a soundwalk, let's find out what people usually hear at UBC.
I don't really listen to any sounds at UBC because I'm always wearing like headphones all the time and listening to music.
Yes, I do listen to mostly birds, crows, and I think once I saw an eagle. So yeah, that's why I associate with UBC.
I think it's just the small conversations that students have that I catch as I walk on campus, you know, when they complain about the homework, the exam schedule, those kind of small talks.
I grew up in a very large, very loud city, so I feel like I got used to these very loud noises, and I've always thought that UBC is a very quiet place. I don't really listen to anything, maybe because I learned to tune out all these noises.
As you might have heard from the previous excerpt, the UBC Vancouver campus is a blend of urban and natural soundscapes. Did you hear any sounds that surprised you? Can you guess what they are in the fragment we just heard? You might have noticed the absence of rain or the crunching of leaves as people stepped on them, which indicates a fall day. Maybe you guessed we were walking along a busy street. This is all correct. It was a particularly sunny and dry day, very unlike Vancouver, where rain is a big component of the soundscape. Duncan concluded the sound walk by asking us to try different ways of producing sound within our environment. Engaging sonically with our environment raised a series of questions about our individual social identities and subjectivities as listeners, or what scholar Dylan Robinson defines as critical listening positionality, a practice that, I quote, seeks to prompt questions regarding how we might become better attuned to the particular filters of race, class, gender, and ability that actively select and frame the contact between listening body and listened to sound, end of quote. This led us to question what it means to listen to and on Musqueam land, something that I am still trying to figure out. Now that you have listened to me talk, I want to invite you to go out on your own sound walk, wherever you want. You can pause this episode as you prepare to go out, and then resume as I guide you. Or, if you're ready, you can continue listening to the following prompts. I will leave 5-second breaks between instructions so that you can focus on the sound walk without having to hit pause. I also suggest listening to the next segment without earbuds or headphones to maximize your oral contact with the environment. As you walk, begin by paying attention to the sounds closest to you. Can you identify the source? Perhaps the sounds are coming from you, from your footsteps. If you are unable to listen to the sounds your body makes and instead hear noises from your surroundings, then you're experiencing a soundscape which is out of balance, according to Westerkamp. As you continue your way, try to listen to sounds that are a little further away. What are they? Can you still identify their source? If you've managed to detect individual sounds, now try to listen to them as part of a bigger environmental composition. Think about how this makes you feel. Is there a dissonance between what you see and what you hear? This exercise you're engaging in is what Westerkamp calls critical listening, that is, an active awareness of the sonic environment and our own role in producing these sounds. Thank you for listening to Sonidos UBC. My name is Sara Revilla. I would really like to thank Fabrizio Tocco for sharing his wonderful music. And also a special thanks to Duncan McHugh for guiding us through our sound walk.